Okay, we're in Genesis chapter 1. Advancing rapidly. In the middle of verse 2. As we've seen so far, Satan has turned the world into a dump. And now we're going to study how the Holy Spirit rectified it and cleaned it up. For the purpose that man could occupy the earth. That's the way it happened. Satan destroyed it, Holy Spirit cleaned it up so that man could inhabit or occupy the earth. In verse 1, we saw Elohim, which is the word God. All three are involved in creation. We know it was instantaneous. The time is unknown. The object in verse 1 was heavens and earth, and we left heaven for a while and are concentrating on the earth. We saw in verse 2a how the earth was ruined. The word without form means waste or a dump. And then the word void means barren of life. And all original life on the earth was destroyed, with the exception of angels, who were not confined to the earth. They could get out of here. But the original vegetation and animal life were destroyed. All we have left are some fossils and the Siberian ice cap. The third characteristic of the earth being ruined was the word darkness. So you have without form, you have the word void, and then you have darkness, which I said was a Hebrew word for darkness, which has no light in it at all. And this is what that word looks like. Chaotic, H-E-K. C-H-O-S-H-E-K, that's complete darkness, no light, no heat. And then we digress to the angelic conflict and the cause. Now we pick up our study in the middle of verse 2b, where we have the beginning of reconstruction. Now God is going to create, God the Son, that is, He's going to create man on the earth, but that's later on. And He can't bring man on the earth under the conditions that exist at verse 2a. He can't put man on the earth when it's void and empty and desolate and in total darkness. There's no way that man could exist. The earth is a dump. The earth has no life. The earth has no way of sustaining life. If He put man on the earth at verse 2, man wouldn't live any length of time at all. The earth is enshrouded at this time in darkness. Consequently, there has to be some changes since man is going to be placed on this planet Earth, not Mars or Jupiter or any of those other places. Now, we saw why man was placed on this Earth in perfect environment to justify God's character in dealing with the angels. The man, like angels, is going to be tested as to his free will. It will occur under perfect environment. We'll see man's failure, naturally, and then we'll see God's provision of grace because of man's failure. So the earth will have to be perfect so we can make a volitional, bona fide issue. Man has to be in status quo innocence. He has to have free will for the issue to go on. Now in verse 2b, we resume with the author of reconstruction. Verse 2b says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, one thing about the earth, we saw three factors last time in the first part of verse 2: dump, waste, ruin, void of any kind of a life, covered with darkness. And in the fourth place now, we have the earth covered with something else. Not only was the earth waste, ruined, void of any kind of life, and covered with darkness, but now we have a fourth characteristic, completely covered in water. Water stacked up, maybe, or 50 or 100 miles. We don't know. It was completely enshrouded in water. And this is the condition that we read here. I want you to notice verse 2b. It says, darkness was upon the face of the water. And then it says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You have that expression twice. Now look at it. You have face of the deep. And then you have face of the water. Now, we're going to take it a little slow so we'll be able to see that exactly what was going on at the time and how evolution is ridiculous. It insults your intelligence. The word here that we have for deep is this word here, T-E-H-O-M. That's the word that you have in the King James for deep. And that word is raging waters. Literally, when you have the word deep, it's raging waters, disturbed waters, something along that line, stormy waters, not deep, whatever deep means. This indicates something very interesting, that raging waters or stormy waters or disturbed waters were used to destroy the earth. And you thought the flood was the first time. No, it was the second time. And the water was also frozen. You say, hey, boy, you're really gone now. We know this. And I'll tell you how we know it. You see this next word here, face of the water? Now I'm going to give you this word. See, this word is deep, but it's raging water. Now this second word, water here, hamayim, H-A-M-A-J-I-M, I am a plural, so we know it's water. But this hamayim is melted waters, literally. Melted waters previously was ice. Very simple. I'll give you a proper translation for that verse here. Darkness is upon the face of the raging waters, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the melted waters. Now, you didn't read that before. So now we have a little more additional information. Later on, we'll study in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 8 how the earth will have another flood. What's the difference between Genesis 1-2b, this flood, and the flood of Genesis chapter 6-8? Well, in one, civilization was wiped out. That's Noah. And his family remained, but all the rest were destroyed. But in that flood, the earth was preserved, Genesis 6-8. Now, at this point, you see, there was no human life, and the earth was destroyed. One, people destroyed. The other, earth was destroyed. One, no people. The other, the earth was preserved. Now, at this point, I want you to stop for a minute, reflect, and just think. I have just described in verses 1 and 2, lengthily, the total helplessness of this bound state of the earth. There is no way that anything can evolve. No possibility for microorganisms becoming man. No possibility for evolution. See, the earth was in darkness, covered by an ice pack. And then we had previously tohu wabohu, which was desolation and void. And there was no longer animal nor plant life, and there was nothing. So if you take the word tohu wabohu and raging waters and melted ice and total darkness, you have absolutely nothing. And so nothing produces nothing. And if God doesn't step in, that's the end of it. going nowhere fast. So the very restoration of the earth was great. So let's get this fixed in our minds so we can go on, and you'll be clear at least on this part. First of all, the first thing is between verses 1 and 2, a catastrophe occurred in the universe which had an effect on planet Earth. Some cataclysm, some catastrophe occurred. Secondly, the catastrophe included the first fall of Satan. We know that happened. And we knew that from Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17, and Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19. That was his first fall. There's going to be two more for him, one in the tribulation, one at the end of the millennium. The third thing is the course of this angelic conflict turned the pre-Adamic world into desolation and chaos. Pre-Adamic. Therefore, point 4 says, between verse 1 and 2, the angelic conflict began its course and it eventually overflowed into the human history. In Isaiah 14, 17, the destruction of the pre-Adamic earth is directly related to the fall of Satan and his angels. However, we know the earth was not originally chaotic from Isaiah 45, 18. He didn't create it this way. By the time of the restoration of the earth, we have the divine judgment on fallen angels in Matthew 25, 41. So between Genesis 1, 1 and Genesis 1, 2, the earth was placed in ice. And underneath the ice was Tohu Wabohu. Over the ice was darkness. Darkness covered the top of the ice so the ice could melt. And that was a hopeless situation for the earth. Just as we are hopeless prior to salvation, totally hopeless, and we can't save ourselves, just as the earth cannot do anything for itself. It's the same thing. His hand is in creation, whether it's there or whether it's us. So it looks something like this. Now, I flunked art, so, you know, bear with me. Here is earth. And we know this is Tohu Wa Bohu, became waste and void. Then we also know that around the earth there is ice. Okay? That word melted water. And then we know also around this is darkness. See, so you got this darkness locking out the ice can't thaw out. And here's the earth, it's void and a dump. Now where's it going to go? Nowhere. And here we are. Man is at the earth earthy. We in darkness and born that way. We can't do anything. God's got to break the ice. Well, he did. And that's exactly what he does. And once you see this, you see your salvation. And it's simple to understand. So, here's the question. When a hopeless situation exists, what is the answer? Only God can solve it. Now, if you can get that in your head, you're going to have it made not only here, but in life. So, what do we have? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reconstructed the earth in 6 days. The word Spirit is Ruach, and the word for God is Elohim. That's Spirit of God. Now remember, we're going to study 6 days. not of original creation. We only have one verse on original creation, and that's verse 1. And in that one verse, we have the principle that the earth was created out of nothing instantaneously, that was the word, bara. The earth was not created in 6 days, as most people teach, and the earth was not created in 7 days, as other people teach. The earth was created in 1 millionth of a second instantaneously. Right up here. And the description that follows day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, those are reconstruction days. And the earth was restored so that man can live on it. Man can't do anything on this. You die. So the earth continued to be packed in ice. And the earth couldn't change or improve itself, but God the Holy Spirit moved upon the earth, and actually grace changed chaos to blessing. And that's the greatness of God's grace. You know, when God saves your soul by accepting Christ as Savior, that's minute compared to this. Grace is really strong and powerful. And when people say, oh, I lost my salvation because I did this, that's so ridiculous. Grace is not something that is weak. Grace is something like this. Now, the point is that what God did for the earth in restoration, the Holy Spirit does for the individual in regeneration. Now, up until this point where we're studying right now, man is not in existence yet. He doesn't come in until later. We have angelic creation, and they have existence. We had the existence of pre-Adamic animal life, dinosaurs, but they're gone. And we had a different kind of vegetation which also existed prior to man. And all these things have been destroyed, and the earth is a dump, it's barren of life. Animals, vegetable, and the earth is in darkness, and finally the earth is covered in ice. Now the Holy Spirit is the author of restoration. This passage may get tricky for you unless you keep this in mind, because every time you see the word bara for create or make or made, we saw it the last time, this word means to create something out of nothing. And we'll see it 2 more times in this chapter. Certain things are going to be said to be created out of nothing. Animals, we'll have a new animal kingdom. And then we'll have man also. And whenever we have this word, bara, it is the work of Jesus Christ. Period. They're synonymous. And the rest of the time, we have the other two words, asa and yatser. And that's the Holy Spirit. And these are going to be used for restoring the earth. Because it's here, but it's a dump. And he takes something that is here and makes something out of it. And Christ takes something that doesn't exist and makes something out of it. So, remember, this is important. First of all, create, bara, is used 3 times in chapter 1. For the original creation of the heavens and the earth, and for the creation of animals, and for the creation of man. The earth was destroyed, ruined by angels. Now, as man is going to be created on the 6th day by the Lord Jesus Christ, there has to be 5 days prior to that of preparation. There has to be 5 days prior to that for restoration. Before man can occupy perfect environment, which would be his home. So that's what we have in these 6 days. That's not original creation. Original creation is Genesis 1:1. Now, it's the ministry of Christ, and he's the one that creates something out of nothing, but the one we're talking about now in restoration is the Holy Spirit. When he does, the Holy Spirit does the restoring. Now, there's a principle behind this. And this is the principle that we find throughout the Word. There's a ministry of the Holy Spirit to restore life. That's why the Holy Spirit is the agent of regeneration. The Lord Jesus Christ provides life, eternal life, for the believer by his death on the cross. But it is the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to restore that life. He is the agent of regeneration. See, the earth continues to move here in a state of chaos for an indefinite period of time after its ruin, verse 2. Earth and its chaos can never improve itself and never does. The angels can improve it, and they never do. It takes the hand of God, and in this case, God the Holy Spirit, to restore the earth. And the analogy for spiritual life from the Word is this. Man in his natural state, his life on this earth, he also is in darkness. He is, as it were, in a desert. He has no life, and only God the Holy Spirit can bring him out of it. And when man believes in Jesus Christ, one of the four things that God the Holy Spirit does, he regenerates him. He gives him a new birth. That's John 3:5. Now turn, if you would, to Psalm 104, verse 30. We're going to change one word here in the middle of the verse. In verse 30, the word is "and," and it should be "because." And once you understand this correction in the translation, it'll be very clear. So Psalm 104, verse 30 says, "Thou sendest forth thy Spirit." And this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Thou is God the Father. He is the planner all the way through, and he sends the Holy Spirit. Then the verse says, "They are created." They is reference to mankind. They are created, man is created, and the Son does the creating. And then it says, "Because thou renewest the face of the earth," and thou is the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that verse very clearly, because you have the Trinity there. Thou, God the Father, see, sends forth the Holy Spirit. They are created. That word created means something out of nothing, and we know that the Son does that. And then it says, "Because thou, the Holy Spirit, renewest the face of the earth." So the Holy Spirit is sent forth to renew the face of the earth so that man can live on the face of the earth and not on Mars. And in Titus we have the same thing, that we're not saved by our works, but by renewing of the Holy Spirit we have the same concept. So the Holy Spirit had to restore the earth before man can, one, be created, and before man, two, can live on this earth. God has to prepare it for him. Now, man may move in self-effort, and he may seek to reform himself and to save himself, but all that effort is in vain. And that's by way of analogy here. Only the Holy Spirit regenerates man. And only the Holy Spirit can provide life for man. Just as the Holy Spirit provided restoration in those 6 days, even so the Holy Spirit provides life for man. Now we have the principle of reconstruction, and the principle of reconstruction is found in another passage, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. I want you to see that one. In other words, some of this teaching may be strange to your hearing. I'm trying to bring in all the passages to support anything that we say, so you can substantiate in your own mind. And the question about days always comes up. Were there really days? How many hours were there? And all this psychological, mental gymnastics that goes absolutely nowhere and causes you to disillusion you and frustrate you. So we'll get all that straight, too. Now, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made." Now, the Hebrew language is 6 literal days, 6 24-hour increments. We'll get into that also. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord," and that's the word Jehovah. refers to the Holy Spirit as we saw from Psalm 104:30 and from Genesis 1:2, and Jehovah is also used for the Holy Spirit. And it says the Lord made, and the word made is Asah. Remember what I told you about Bara, Christ, and Asah, the Holy Spirit? Now this is Asah. That means something was existing. He's making something out of something that exists. Now, when Jesus Christ originally created the earth, we have our own. He created out of nothing. But this is creating something out of existing material, so this is reconstruction. He is making it out of something. In other words, what's he going to make it out of? What material did God the Holy Spirit have? A dump. See? He had a waste. He had barrenness. He had darkness. He had ice. Now look at these ingredients, and you begin to realize what's going on here. He took a dump that was barren and shrouded in darkness and water. And that was his ingredients. And all of those things were involved in reconstructing. That's a picture of us. The dump was barren in total darkness, and the water, whatever that is, overwhelming our heads, whatever. We're all underwater. See, that's the way we came into this world. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to take existing materials, which they are, and he's going to take light. And he's going to put light into light bearers. The light will exist on the first day of reconstruction, and on the fourth day, he'll put that light into light bearers, which will be planets. So in this verse we have, in 6 days of the Lord, the Holy Spirit made something out of something, reconstructed, restored, the heavens, plural, and earth, singular, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Rested. Why? Because everything was provided on the seventh day. And then this verse goes on for the reason for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a way of worshiping and recognizing the grace of God, not a way of legalism. So Exodus chapter 20:11 says, Asah. So we know Bara is original creation, and initial creation took place in two stages. One, Genesis 1:1, way back billions of years ago, heaven and earth were created. Two, after the ruin, the earth, man was created, and animals as they exist, in post Adamic time, not the original animals, and they went, you know, the originals went along. Now we have, by way of summary, up to verse 2, the earth was not created ruined, Isaiah 45:18. The original earth was formed to be inhabited, Isaiah 45:18, and was inhabited by angels, prehistoric creatures, prehistoric animals, vegetable life, quite different from the vegetables we eat today. And the ruin of the earth was the result of Satan's fall, Isaiah 14:17. The earth became a ruin, Genesis 1:2. The Holy Spirit moves upon the face of the waters to restore the earth, Genesis 1:2b. So we have original creation, then it's destruction of chaos, then the Holy Spirit restores it. Now in Genesis 1:3 to Genesis chapter 2:3, from 1:3 to 2:3, we have the mechanics of restoration. We now have details as to the restoring of the earth. Now, Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Hopeless situation exists, only God can solve it. Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Means that God has the only solution to chaotic conditions on the earth. Now the word move, the Holy Spirit moved. I want to get this word in because this will help also. It's the word R-A-C-H-A-P-H. That's the word for moved. And literally it means to incubate. Incubate. Birds are said to brood over their eggs when warmth from the mother's body incubates the egg. You can now pop the baby, whatever it is. Now, to support this, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, this word is used as the word for a bird in Deuteronomy 32:11, brooding over her young to warn them and to give them vitality. And I'll quote the verse for you. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on the way, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Now that was Moses' song. Now what this word really applies is this, remember. Darkness covered the earth, no light, no heat. God the Holy Spirit didn't move, in the sense that we say move, he provided heat. See? He brooded over it. The best translation for this would be, he incubated the ice pack. See, we had this drawing before, and he had to break the ice, as I told you, so the only thing that break the ice would be heat. And just like a mother hen puts on an egg, so the earth was an egg. You know, if you can picture a golf ball, you know, and inside the golf ball they have a core. Sometimes it's rubber band, sometimes it's plastic, and they've got some other junk in there, and outside they have like an egg shell. And there's no way for that thing to do anything. This earth was like an egg. And it couldn't do anything. So God had to break the ice back too deep, and here it is here. So as Asar was used in original creation for manufacturing something or something, so Asar will be used for the ministry of the Godhead in restoring the earth. In 6 literal days, the earth, as man knew it before the flood, was manufactured out of tohu wabohu, an ice pack plus total darkness, minus heat, minus light. And the condition of chaotic earth was like the present condition of unregenerate man. Ephesians 2:1. Dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of the prince of this world. Same situation. Just like primitive earth is man. And man under spiritual death is enshrouded in darkness. Well, where'd you get that from? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. And only the regenerating ministry of God the Holy Spirit can bring life and a relationship with God. Matthew 19:28. John chapter 3 and Titus 3. And the way you got your start is the way that planet Earth got its start. Now, isn't that consistent in grace? Or you have to go back and look at the ground and find out how that came into existence. That's the same way you did. And isn't it interesting that man is of the earth ancient? There's a synonymous teaching there. You know, we haven't even scratched the surface. I wonder sometimes, all the theologians have argued for years, but they're so used to fancy words and bickering back and forth and semantics, they always talk about that scene when the woman was taken in adultery, and Jesus Christ lay on the ground. They always say, what did he write? First Baptist Church of Florida. You know, or the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, it's nothing. I often wonder if he wasn't saying, hey, you remember how this started? What he is, you know, what it was before. That's you, baby. You know, I often thought maybe he's trying to get our attention. That's a real word. All right, now the word day is used in the Bible 3 different ways, and I'll spell it out for you. If you study the 6 days of restoration, you have to learn to differentiate between the way the word day is used. We use the word day one way. But there's 3 different uses in the Bible. And when I give it to you, you'll see and you'll recognize it right away. First of all, the way that word day is used is, first of all, for less than 24 hours. There are scriptures that call something a day and it's less than 24 hours. For example, it says, day of salvation. That's not 24 hours, that's a second. That's a moment of time when an individual believes in the Lord. And that's 2 Corinthians 6:2. It says a day of salvation.
Well, that's less than a day. It doesn't take you 24 hours.
I believe.
See, what I'm saying, it's less than 24 hours. You have to get your thinking on. Don't let these psychologists and the philosophers and the atheists try to confuse you about how many hours have you in a day. We're different now. We're in the 20th century. Tony, we got all that. Don't let them play with your mind that way. Play with theirs a little bit. Now, the second way that the day is used less than 24 hours is the day of Christ. All of these are passages of Scripture. That's the rapture of the church. Is that going to take you 24 hours to get from here to there? No, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll be instantaneously. And it's called the day of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15:52. Philippians 1:10 and Philippians 2:16 say the day there is less than 24 hours. When you got saved, it didn't take 24 hours. And the rapture is not going to take 24 hours. Well, there's a third way, the day of wrath. You ought to be glad that one isn't 24 hours. That's the great white throne judgment, which is described as the day of wrath in Romans 2:5. That will be the moment when the unbeliever is judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:11-15. And that's not 24 hours. And then there's another way. A day of declaration. And that's the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:13. And it will be the judgment of all church-age believers because of human good. It will be bound up, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And it says there the day will declare it. So this is not 24 hours. This is not 24 hours. This is not 24 hours. Neither is that. So that's one way to use. You don't study at all. So when someone says to you, how many hours are there in a day? Well, which day are you talking about? Day of Christ? Which one? Day of salvation? One. Day of judgment? Get them. Don't let them get away with it. Tell them you know something about the Word. All right, here's the second way the Word is used. More than 24 hours. I'm going the other way now. I said less. Now this is more. One, the day of redemption. This refers to the believer in eternity, in a resurrection body. Ephesians 4:30. We'll get to that. And that's not 24 hours. That's more than 24 hours. So that's talking about your ultimate sanctification after you're given a resurrection body after the rapture. And that's called the day of redemption. That's not talking about the time that you're saved, but that's something out from eternity future. Then there's another expression, the day of the Lord. And it has two meanings depending upon the context. Because it's depicted in the tribulation, Second Advent and Millennium, and so it's a combination of 1,007 years. In other words, there are scriptures for the day of the Lord is in the tribulation, and there are scriptures for the Second Advent, day of the Lord, and also the Millennium. So you put it all together, it's 1,007 years. So it can refer to any one segment in the tribulation. It can refer to any segment at the Second Advent or the Millennium. And I'll give you the passages. Isaiah 2:12. Joel 1:15. Zechariah 14:1. 2 Peter 3:10. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. And that's all day of the Lord. And that's more than 24 hours. Now there's a third way, called the day of God. That's found in Scripture too. And that refers to eternity, and that's 2 Peter 3:12. So you have day of redemption, day of the Lord, day of God. And they're all more than 24-hour periods. All right, the third way, and this is now 24-hour period, or a solar day. Hit them with that. That'll be good. They may not know what you're saying. You see it in Scripture. And this is a 24-hour period, and I'll show you how we can come up with this without having any trouble. The 6 days of the Earth's restoration were literally 24 hours. We'll get that in Genesis 1, 3 through 31. In other words, this is, we'll call this the restoration of it. The second way is the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't longer than 24 hours. The Sabbath wasn't shorter than 24 hours. The Sabbath was 24 hours. That's this chapter 20, verse 2. The holy day, the dispensation of Israel. See, the Lord's day. Lord's day, you're familiar with that. It's Sunday. That's Revelation chapter 1. How about the scripture where it says, this one will get you. Live one day at a time. Well, that could be 1,007 years, right? At once. No. One day at a time. It's the concept of the Christian way of life. Romans 14, 5 and 6. Some esteem one day over the other. We esteem all days alike. We live one day at a time. And then another way is taking in the Word of God daily. Psalm 119, verse 97. That's 24-hour period. These are all different ways from different passages where you can pin down that it's 24 hours. You know it from history because the Jews observed the Sabbath and it was a 24-hour period. So days are used three ways in Scripture. And if someone says something to you about a day, when you say, what do you mean? Less than 24 hours, more, or 24? How do you want it? So first you have minus 24 hours, and then you have more than 24 hours, and then you have 24 hours. Well, my time's up. We'll have to take it up next time, but I'll give you one word for the word day, yom. That's the Hebrew word for day. And yom kippur. It's a high holy day. You see it on TV every time there's a Jewish holiday. All right? This word here is 24 hours. How long do they celebrate the Passover? 24 hours. From sundown to sundown. See? That's the way the Hebrew goes. Well, next time we'll take it up and say a little bit more about this, but we'll answer a lot of questions about, you know, what about creation, restoration, man, woman, what type of a weapon did Cain use to kill Abel since there were no guns at the time? If he took all the guns away, would people still kill people? The answer is yes. We'll find something, you know, to kill them with. And we'll answer a lot of questions that come up. Father, we just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of assembly worship. We're thankful for the freedom we have and the freedom and the access we have to your word, which is what we actually need. We're thankful for looking at original creation, chaos, and restoration, and knowing that if you hadn't put your hand in there, that we would never have existed. But you, having us personally in mind, designed this earth for us so we can live here, so we can make decisions for Christ, so we can have an influence and an impact in this society. We're thankful for individuals to take time to fellowship with the Word, give us encouragement, and exhort us and help us to go in grace as we study your word. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.